Certainly enjoyed being with you all yesterday and have very much looked forward not just to yesterday but today for many months, and very much appreciate the invitation that Brother Wheat gave me many months ago. I've never hesitated to accept an invitation to come back to Little Miami, and I hope and pray that the Lord will bless us here today. I told Brother Wheat earlier this morning, I said, I'm not as long-winded as I used to be. I've found the secret to brevity. I've never had anybody come to me and say, Brother Nathan, that was a good sermon, but I wish it was longer. I've never heard anybody say that. And so for what time we will stand before you, though, please pray that the Lord would bless me. I'd like to turn your attention to Deuteronomy chapter 33, and we'll look at verse 25. Deuteronomy chapter 33 and verse 25. And here we find, I believe, what should be a very comforting message to the Lord's people. And certainly as a gospel minister, that's something that I've always strived to do, to be a comfort to the Lord's people. You know, the message that was given to Isaiah was, comfort ye, my people. If there's not much comforting coming from the pulpit, there's probably not much preaching coming from the pulpit. There's to be a great comfort to the Lord's people as we read and study and expound on the word of the Lord. But here, I think, again, I find a very comforting promise of the Lord. We find here in Deuteronomy chapter 33 and verse 25 that Moses' death is now at hand. And Moses, of course, is not going to go into the promised land because of his sin and transgression against the Lord. And he's called the 12 tribes of Israel together, and he's giving each one of them a blessing, if you will. Very similar to when Jacob called his 12 sons together at the point of his death and gave them a blessing. And so in verse 25, he's speaking directly to the tribe of Asher, and that is the eighth son of Jacob. And he says, thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be. Now again, even though this is something Moses was directing to the tribe of Asher, I think this is something that is equally applicable to all of the Lord's people. I think this is something that we can all draw comfort from here in this life and this time of trouble and toil that we live in. And you say, well, Brother Nathan, I don't understand how that's really a great promise. I really don't understand how that's very comforting. Well, dare I say this morning, dear friends, that if you don't read those words and find great comfort from them, you probably have not understood, or you've overlooked the fact that you need the strength of the Lord in this life. You've probably overlooked the fact that you, in and of yourselves, are very weak and you can do nothing without the Lord. And certainly that's something that we need to keep in our minds as we go forward, that without the Lord we can do nothing, and that we are very dependent on Him and His strength. And we learn to appreciate that by seeing the great contrast between our weakness and the strength of the Lord, by seeing ourselves as specks and worms of the dust, seeing ourselves as bankrupt sinners in the sight of the Lord, seeing ourselves for what we really are. That only brightens and highlights the strength of the Lord and how much dependent we are on Him. And so we have to have that mindset of contrast, if you will. You know, I was beginning to think about how we come to appreciate things by contrast, and how we come to, as I said, appreciate them and have a love for things by contrast. I'm a professional weather complainer. That's a part-time job of mine. I'm a professional weather complainer. And everybody knows we've had a lot of rain. Everybody knows we've had more rain, at least up our way, than we really need. And that's something that I like to stand around and complain about. But you know, you really don't appreciate the rain unless you've had to go through a drought, right? Unless you've had a time of no rain, months and months of no rain, you really don't appreciate the rain and the showers that the Lord sends. And so it's very important, again, that we have in mind this contrast as we look to our weakness and the strength of the Lord, just as we learn to appreciate things in nature by contrast. Or just the other day, I was complaining about how hot and humid it was. I just couldn't believe it. I walked out of my house and I thought, this is just terrible. How is it so hot and humid in June or at the end of May? And I was dumping buckets of water out of my dehumidifier saying, this is just crazy. You know, but 4 months ago, I was saying, how can it be this cold in February or in March? But again, we learn to appreciate things by contrast, don't we? We think perhaps even about the stars. I love to stand out and look at the stars. And I can't tell you the constellations that are in the sky and in the heavens. They used to try to pound that in my head at school. I couldn't tell you where Orion's belt was and how that's different from the belt I'm wearing. I don't know anything about constellations. But I love to stand out and gaze at the work of God in the heavens and see the beautiful stars. And I love to think about how the Bible says that's the finger work of God. And it makes me think, take this thought home with you. The finger work of God is the stars, but yet the work of salvation was done by the arm of the Lord. You know, the Lord put more effort into your salvation than he did into the stars of the heavens. Those are the finger work of God. Your salvation's by the arm of the Lord. You take that home and meditate on that. But anyways, back to the point. I like to stand out and I like to gaze upon the stars and the beautiful heavens. But yet we have no appreciation for that, or would have no appreciation for that, if that's all we ever had, would we? If we never had the brightness of the noonday sun, we'd never appreciate the stars, would we? If that's all we ever had. And so again, we learn to appreciate things by contrast. And dear friends, we need to learn to appreciate the strength of God by seeing the contrast within ourselves, that we certainly have no strength without the Lord, that we are just, again, complete weak and specks of the dust, just mere mortals of men. And certainly we can see that when it comes to the grace of the Lord and the sin in our lives. We can appreciate the grace of God more when we're able to see ourselves as bankrupt sinners in his sight. We can begin to see that grace and how amazing that grace is when we understand that all of our righteousness is nothing but as filthy rags before a thrice holy God. When you can stand and self-examine yourself and say, I would have absolutely no hope of heaven except for the grace of God. It's only in that time that you'll more greatly appreciate the actual grace of God, right? There are so many in the religious world, they want to say, well, yes, I believe in grace. I'm saved by grace. And all I had to do was this, that, or the other. You know, to them, grace is cheap. But grace is actually free. Some, they'll say, well, I just had to do this and I had to do that. I was saved by grace, but I had to work my way in a little bit. That's cheap grace. I believe in free grace. And it's not until that, again, we see ourselves as completely bankrupt sinners in the sight of God to understand the amazing grace that the Lord has had towards us. We see our weakness implied in Scripture. Many passages you could turn to this morning or ponder and study upon this week, and you would see the weakness of man implied in Scripture. In fact, in 2 Samuel chapter 22 and verse 33, David says that God is my strength. Well, there's an implication there, right? If God is our strength, or God was David's strength, he's my strength, he's your strength. If God is our strength, then that implies that without God we have no strength, right? That implies that we are weak without the Lord. Or in Psalm chapter 18 and verse 2, David says, again, the Lord is my strength, and the way or the path of the Lord is my strength. So we see it implied all throughout Scripture that we need the strength of God as we go through this life. We often sing that hymn. I love that hymn. I am weak, but thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. Again, we see the implications and the clear teachings of the Bible that we need the strength of the Lord. And we might even cry out as David did in the sixth psalm, have mercy on me, for I am weak, O Lord. And again, as I said, that's certainly true in an eternal sense, being weak, mere sinners, again, whose righteousness altogether bundled up in a package is nothing but filthy rags. Certainly, we had no strength to save ourselves, right? In fact, that's what the Apostle Paul said. He says that when you were without strength in due time, that's at the right time, when we were without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. We had no ability to reach towards the Lord to save ourselves, even if we'd wanted to. But you know, you didn't want to, because he says when we were enemies with God, we were reconciled to him by the death of a son. We didn't want to reach towards God, and even if we'd wanted to, we didn't have the strength to do it. And so we needed the grace and the strength of the Lord there in an eternal sense. And we see it again, our weakness implied all throughout Scripture. We see it clearly in an eternal sense. What about our weakness here in this life? Every instance of life seems like we have weakness that just bubbles up from within us. Maybe perhaps weakness that we have when it comes to duties in this life, duties as husbands and fathers or wives and mothers. You know, I used to think I was the strongest husband that ever lived. And then you know what? I got married. I used to think I was the best father and the strongest father. And you know what? Then I had a child. And I realized my own weakness, my own failures when it comes to duties of as a husband and as a father. And of course, naturally speaking, a 2.5-year-old running around the house, she keeps me on my toes. I wear myself out pretty good. I get naturally weak as well. I see weaknesses in myself in business and the other affairs of the world, duties that I have in those things. But what about our duties to God? Do we often see our weaknesses in duties to God? I think that we often do. Sometimes I read the story of Gideon. I look at Gideon and I see myself in Gideon. You know, the Lord will say, Nathan, do this or do that. And I'll say, Lord, you've got the wrong man. I'm the least in my father's house. You need to look around. Maybe there's somebody else better for the choosing. Don't pick me. I'm certainly not the man. And then maybe perhaps I'll start to perform the duties that the Lord would have me to do, but I start to backpedal a little bit and I say, I just don't know, Lord. I think I need a sign. Maybe in fact I need 2 or 3 or 4 signs before I can keep going. And I just again see how weak I am in performing the commands and the obligations that the Lord would have me to do. Or sometimes I'm like Peter. You know, the Lord said, cast out into the deep, launch your boat into the deep and let down your nets. And you know what Peter said? He said, Lord, we've toiled all night. Sometimes I'm like Peter. Sometimes, again, the Lord will say, Nathan, do this or do that. And I'll say, Lord, you just don't understand. I've toiled all night. I've tried and I've tried and I've tried. And I just failed. It just seems like I'm getting nowhere. I've just toiled. It's been for nothing. I don't know if I want to go through all this again. And so very few times I get to the next words of Peter, those beautiful words that he uttered. After he said, Lord, we've toiled all night. He says, nevertheless, at thy word I will. So few times I actually get to those words in my life. But dear friends, that ought to be our mantra every single day that we live. It doesn't matter what the Lord's told us to do. That ought to be our mentality. Nevertheless, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how many times you failed and tried. It doesn't matter how long you've toiled. It doesn't matter what the reasoning of your friends and your family are. It doesn't matter about anything except what the Lord says to do. Nevertheless, it doesn't matter. We need to do everything we can. That ought to be the mantra that he is the only warrant for my life and my behavior and my conduct. And I'm going to do everything that I can for him. Nevertheless, it doesn't matter. But so few times I say, Lord, I've toiled. I've toiled all night. You just don't understand. I see my weakness in that. I see my weakness in the pulpit. Of course, you know, you all probably wouldn't understand that perhaps as much as the people at Fort Wayne would, the little group there that I try to pastor, but I see my weakness in the pulpit. I see my weakness as far as trying to study and meditate upon the words of the Lord, as far as trying to bring forth messages that I think would benefit the people there that I try to pastor. I just feel sometimes like I'm incompetent, like I just don't know if I should keep going or not. I just feel weak sometimes in that regard. What about other duties of the Lord? Duties like to forgive one another. How many of us are weak in that, you know? I love to hold a grudge, and I'll bet you I can hold a grudge longer than anybody here. But I shouldn't, because the Lord says I shouldn't. I need to be more forgiving. I need to have a heart that's more tender towards my brethren and sisters. I need to be forgiving more, but yet I fail on that from time to time. I say, well, you just don't understand what that person did to me. You don't understand what they said. Nobody understands except me. Oh, they hurt me bad. But yet the Lord says we need to forgive them. But how often do we fail in that? Willfully fail and are willfully weak in following after the Lord. Or even the duty of prayer that we have to the Lord. You know, Christ taught the lesson that men ought always to pray. But how are you doing on that? I know I'm not doing very well. I don't mean to step on toes this morning. Let me step on my own for a few minutes. But I can see times in my life when I lay my head down to sleep and I have the best intentions to pray to the Lord and thank the Lord for the blessings of the day and pray for His guidance in the next day and His watch care during the night. And my wife says I have ADD. I don't know if that's the case, but about 3 minutes into it, I've drifted off thinking about something else and I've left off praying to the Lord. Or I sit down to a meal and I just begin to eat the meal and I take no regard that the Lord's blessed me with that. Too often, I fail in my duties as far as praying unto the Lord or denying myself, mortifying the deeds of the body and the flesh, setting all the worldly pleasures and the desires that I have aside and following after the Lord. I see time and time again weakness in following after the Lord and obeying the duties and the commands that He's given to me. But dear friends, we need to again see our contrast and have the mentality that without God, we can do nothing. We need His strength. Seeing our weaknesses here, the weaknesses that we have in suffering through trials and tribulations here, we need more patience. We need to be stronger. But too many times we're weak. Too many times I'm weak, as I said. I go through what just as happens to be a little cold or something like that, and I think that's the greatest trial I've ever had. I've got the man cold, you know what I mean? Where I'm on the couch and I've got no fever, but I've got a little bit of a sniffle and I'm covered up to my neck and I'm saying, Tori, that's my wife, Tori, will you do this? Will you do that for me? Bring me the remote and some tea would be nice. But I need to have more strength. I need to have more patience in suffering. I tell you, I look at others and I wish that I had their strength that they display in suffering. I can't tell you how many times I've sat at the ends of beds in hospitals, people that have gone through just terrible trials in this life, and they display such strength in those trials. And I think to myself, Lord, I need to do better. I need to be stronger in my own sufferings. I need to be stronger when it comes to the progress that I have in my life. I don't need to be weak and so weak in the progress in this life. You know, so many times I look and I see other saints of God, just strong pillars in Zion. And I say, I wish I could be like them. I wish I could have their strength. I wish I could progress like they have progressed. And we often sing the song, you know, I want to love Him more. And we pray that we would grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord. And we just want nothing more than to perhaps follow and be more obedient to the Lord. But there comes a time when we just somehow slip away. And we just have left off all the progress that we made. Maybe we've been to a wonderful meeting. Maybe we felt the Lord's presence raining down upon us and we just have heard the gospel declared and power and in demonstration of the Spirit. We felt the Lord's presence in the singing and the praying and we're just so excited and we walk out the back doors and we say, today's the day. I'm going to turn over a new leaf. I'm going to start following the Lord with everything I've got. I'm going to be so much better. I just am so ready to live after the Lord. And then you know what happens? We get down the road a little ways and somebody cuts us off and we say, what's the matter with that person? Don't they know how to drive? As Brother Sarper said yesterday, Lord bless them to drive. And we, you know, just have nothing but nasty things to say. Or maybe somebody in our car on the way home from church says something that didn't sit well with us and we just snap at them like that. We say, well, you know, maybe you shouldn't be saying that. Maybe you shouldn't be saying those things. Whatever the case may be, we simply have just left off all the progress we made. We said, oh, we want to do better, but 30 minutes after church, we've forgotten all about those commitments that we made. And we just start to slide backwards in our weakness of progress. I've seen that in my life. I've seen some who are very strong. They're strong when it comes to duty. They're strong when it comes to suffering. They're strong when it comes to progress. But maybe their weakness is not shown until the day of temptation. Maybe their weakness is not made manifest until the day of temptation, and maybe that's where they fall in that time. Some might say here, well, Brother Nathan, I've never been tempted of the devil. I've never felt the tempting of Satan. If you've ever said that, wake up, because I assure you, he has tempted you, he will tempt you, and he'll continue to tempt you. There's nobody here that's above the temptations of Satan. I'm reminded that that the devil had the boldness to tempt our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, did he not? The one that could speak the very word and destroy him, but yet he had the boldness to go and tempt Jesus Christ. Well, who am I to think that he wouldn't tempt me? Who are you to think he wouldn't tempt you? Of course we're subject to the temptations of the devil. Paul writes about the common temptation in the book of Corinthians. That's something that all of us go through. And Satan is a great master at temptation. He has devices and wiles that you and I will never understand. And so certainly we need to be sober and be vigilant against the attacks of the devil. We all have a weak spot, if you will, I believe. You know, the devil, I don't believe he searches the hearts like men. I believe that's a sole prerogative of God, to know and understand the entire hearts of men. But I believe Satan knows our desires. I think that he understands the things that we lust after and would choose to go after in this life. And he's very good at tempting us with those things. He's not going to tempt you with something you don't want. Otherwise, it wouldn't be tempting. It's going to tempt you with something you do want. And he understands and has those wiles and devices that we need to be able to stand against. We all have a weak spot, if you will, I believe. We're not all tempted in the same way, perhaps. And I'm reminded of the legend Achilles' heel. Anybody remember that legend? It's just a myth, obviously. But there was a man that was indestructible. He'd been dipped in the river. And because of that, he was indestructible, but yet his heel didn't get dipped in all the way. Everywhere else, he was indestructible. But when the arrow would hit his heel, that was his downfall. That's what caused him to perish. That's kind of like us. We all have a weak spot, if you will, and it may not be the same as our brethren or sisters. We're all tempted in different ways, if you will. You could set a glass of wine, maybe the rarest and the most expensive wine, in front of somebody and tempt them with that wine in drunkenness. They may say, no, I don't want that. I have no desire for that. They can't be tempted with that. Maybe they can't be tempted with other lusts of the world. Maybe they can't be tempted with money and profits in this world. But maybe they're tempted more along the lines of anger and malice and envy and things like that. And we're all tempted in different ways. And so I say all that this morning to say we all have great weaknesses in this life. And we can see our weaknesses very clearly stated throughout the Bible, as I've said. And so we need to have the mindset that we need the strength of the Lord. We need the strength of the Lord. And that, having understood the weaknesses that we have, if you understand how weak you really are, that's when this promise becomes more appreciated. As he says, as thy days, so shall thy strength be. Let's look at that promise for a minute. You say, Brother Nathan, you've stepped on all my toes and some twice. I probably have, and I'm sorry for that. But let's look at the promise now of the Lord. As thy days, so shall thy strength be. This promise of the Lord is a guaranteed promise. It's a guaranteed promise. He says, so shall thy strength be. There's a shall in there. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. It's a guaranteed promise of the Lord. You know, it's often said about Primitive Baptists, we're hard shells because we're hard on the shalls, or we love the shalls. Well, here's a shall you can be hard on. Here's one you can appreciate. This is a guaranteed promise of the Lord. And it's guaranteed because it's based on the faithfulness and the omnipotence of God. There's never been a check written that would bounce against the storehouses of God's faithfulness and God's omnipotence. You can take this to the bank. If God has said it, you can take it to the bank. It's as good as done. It's a guaranteed promise of the Lord. Why? Because, as I said, God is faithful. That is promised. Sometimes you might have promises made to you by men. You might have promises made to you by me. But I can't guarantee that I'll always be faithful in those promises. I would hope that I wouldn't deceive you purposely. I certainly am capable of that in this life, but I hope that wouldn't be the case. I've been deceptive before, I'm sure, in times past. You know, we see that they come forth speaking lies as soon as they be born. We've all probably been deceptive in times past. I hope I wouldn't be purposely deceptive. But even perhaps the best intentions that I have to carry through on a promise I've made, I may not be able to keep that promise. I may not be able to see the thing through. David said, the faithful fail from among the children of men. But we're not talking about a man here. We're talking about the God of heaven, and he is faithful that is promised. If he has said it will come to pass, if he said you'll have his strength, then you'll have his strength for the days of trials and temptations at hand. It's also a guaranteed promise, as I said, because it's based on the omnipotence of God. Do you all believe in an omnipotent God today? I know you do. Brother Dallas and I were talking about that before church this morning, how God is an omnipotent God, and we can't even begin to explain God. It's just more than we can fathom, isn't it? But I'm telling you, dear friends, we have a God in the heavens that's commanding the inhabitants of the earth and among the armies of heaven, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? He is an omnipotent, all-sovereign God sitting in the heavens. Even as we're told, he can have in his hand and does have in his hand the heart of the king and turns it whithersoever he will, even as rivers of water. I believe in an omnipotent God today. There is nothing too hard for the Lord. Nothing that will outdo the strength of the Lord. His arm is not shortened that he cannot save. You believe in that this morning? Let me tell you about our God in heaven, the one that spoke these worlds into existence. He took from nothing, absolutely nothing, and he made something, didn't he? He made this globe that we're on today. Took from nothing and made something. Can any of you do that? None of you can do that. There's never been a man made that can take from nothing and make something. But he took from nothing and he made something, and he put that something far away from something else so that this something didn't become nothing. Can I say that again? I don't know if I could. But think about that. Think about the power and the wisdom of God, even in the natural creation, to place us just at the right distance from the sun, that this world would not be consumed or that this world would not freeze. Can you imagine the power and the wisdom of God, and that to have just the perfect tilt on this globe and the perfect spinning of this globe, that we would have the four seasons we so much enjoy? Dear friends, let that sink in. Think about the power of this omnipotent God. I had a conversation one time with a church member, and he was saying he just thought it was miraculous as he looked out his truck and he saw that there was a raven eating some berries or something to that account. And he thought to himself how powerful the Lord is to be caring for that raven there on that time, to provide that raven with the berries and the nourishment that it needed. And then it occurred to him, he said, he's not doing it just for that raven, he's doing it for all of the ravens of the field. I mean, think about the power of the Lord in that. And then think about yourselves and how much more important you are to the Lord than the ravens and the lilies of the field. You're the elect of God. You're the joy and you're the delight of the Lord. Oh, how we ought to be so appreciative and rejoice in the omnipotence of God. This one that in the book of Joshua declares that he will drive out nations. Boy, that takes a powerful God to drive out nations, doesn't it? And we often sing that song, How Great Thou Art. You believe that this morning? Or do you sing it because it's something we've sung for 100 years? I believe in that. How great thou art. Or that other hymn I love to sing, Great is thy faithfulness. That's why this is a guaranteed promise of the Lord. As thy day, so shall thy strength be. Because he's faithful and he's omnipotent. But it's a promise too, let me say this morning, that has some limitation to it as well. He says, as thy days are, as thy days, so shall thy strength be. He doesn't say, as thy desires, as thy wishes, as your wants, as thy lust. He doesn't go into all that. He just says, as thy days. What that tells me is the Lord will give us strength for the things that we're actually facing. Those things that we're actually going through, that's the strength that the Lord will give us in those times of need. Not this strength that we want for this or something else that we're desiring over here, but the things that we're actually going through. That's the strength that the Lord will give us. You say, oh, I wish I had the strength of so-and-so. I wish I had their strength, so to speak. If I had their strength, I could do wonderful and marvelous things. You know what, dear friends? Just don't even worry about that. You leave the wonderful and the marvelous things to the hands of the Lord. And the Lord's going to give you the strength for the things that you're facing right now in your life. That's the strength that He'll give you. You don't need to worry about doing wonderful and marvelous things and having the strength of somebody else. You need the strength of the Lord for the things that you're facing. And that's the strength that He's promised to give you in those times. I would say it this way, perhaps. Another way to rephrase the promise of the Lord, although I dare to rephrase it, but I'll try this morning, that perhaps when our vessel runs dry, it'll be filled. When our vessel runs dry, the Lord will fill it. For what we have, what we're going through then, that is the strength that the Lord is going to give us. And you say, well, if I had their strength, I'd do wonderful and miraculous things. If I had their strength, I would do great wonders, if you will. Well, again, you worry about today. You worry about the things you're facing. The Lord will give you strength to face those things. And I dare say you'll look back sometime in the future and you'll say, I don't know how I did that. I don't know how I got through that. I don't know how I did that wonderful thing, except by the grace and the strength of the Lord. And He says, as thy days, so shall thy strength be. He doesn't say as thy week, as thy month, as thy year, as thy 2 years. What's your 5-year plan? He doesn't say all that. He says, as thy days, so shall thy strength be. That's another limitation on this promise. He's going to give you the strength that you need for today. He's going to give you what you need today. You say, well, Brother Nathan, why perhaps is he doing that? Well, I think perhaps he wants us to see our dependency on him more and more on a daily basis. You know, if he gave me strength for a week, you know what I would do? If he gave me the strength I needed today on Sunday for an entire week, by about Monday or Tuesday, number one, I might have used it all up. And number two, I'd forget who gave it to me probably. I'd be thinking, hey, I'm doing pretty good here. If he gave me the strength that I needed for a month, third, fourth, fifth day in the month, I'd probably, number one, have used it all up. And number two, I'd forget who gave me that strength. But the Lord wants us to see our dependency on him on a daily basis, I believe. That's why he gave the manna to the children of Israel in the wilderness on a daily basis. He wanted them to know that that day they received the manna by God. It wasn't because mom or dad or grandpa or somebody else went out and gathered too much the day before. It was because he was blessing them that day. He wanted them to have a constant reminder that we need God in our lives every single day. And we need to see our dependency on him every single day. We need to see him as our sufficiency in this life. Give him the preeminence in our life every single day. And say, Lord, without you today, I could do nothing. I need your strength now, today. That's what the Lord wants us to see and understand here as we go through this life. Again, I'm kind of a professional worrier. I'm a professional weather complainer, but I'm a professional worrier too. I can't tell you how many times over the last several months, I'd look out several months ahead and I'd say, I just don't know how I'm going to accomplish this. I just don't know how I'm going to accomplish that. I look to the bills I have for the business as an attorney and I say, well, if I don't get more clients in next week or the week after, I don't know how I'm going to pay the help. I don't know how I'm going to pay the rent. I don't know how I'm going to pay the internet. And if I don't have the internet, buddy, I'm useless. But I'll say, I just don't know how I'm going to do it. And I start to worry. And I'll even look again several months in advance and say, quarterly taxes are coming. I don't know how I'm going to get the quarterly taxes paid. But you know what? I don't need to worry about next month. I don't need to worry about the month after that. I don't need to worry about quarterly taxes. I need to worry about today. I need to take care of June 2nd. I need to take care of today. The Lord will give me the strength that I need today. And when those times roll around, he'll give me the strength that I need there in those times. He'll give me the strength I need at that time. We have enough trouble to worry about today, don't we? You know, Christ said that sufficient for the day is evil thereof. We've got enough to keep our minds occupied today. We don't need to be taking tomorrow's trouble and putting them on today. We don't need to be taking next month's and next year's trouble and putting it on today. We need to just worry about today and see the Lord as our sufficiency and see our dependency on the Lord today. And I believe, again, that's a limitation on this promise. He's not saying, as thy days and weeks and months. He's saying, as thy days, so shall thy strength be. But it's just not a promise that's guaranteed. It's not a promise that's just limited. It's also a promise that's extensive. It's a promise that's extensive. You say, well, Brother Nathan, what do you mean about that? Well, it's a promise that covers all types of days. It's a promise that covers every single type of day you can have. There are some days that I don't need as much strength, perhaps, as I do on other days. There's some days I can sit on my back porch and I can open the Bible and I can sit there and read and meditate on the Word of the Lord and hear the birds chirping in the woods nearby, and I can sip some Mountain Dew or whatever the case may be, and I don't really feel like I need a lot of strength that day. I do. I'm probably deceiving myself to some extent, but I just don't feel like I need as much strength, perhaps. There are big days and there are little days in the journals of men. And sometimes it doesn't seem, as I said, we need the strength as much on the little days. But this is a promise that covers not only the little days, but the big days. There are big days in our lives. You know, I can't help but think perhaps about Job's big day. You remember what Job went through there? Just one messenger after another. Just one messenger right after another saying, you've lost this and you've lost that. I can't even begin to fathom that. And to begin to expound on what Job went through. The only thing I can find likened unto it is maybe in the Psalms where David says, deep calleth unto deep. It's just like one wave crashing upon him, one after another. Deep calleth unto the deep. All thy waves and all thy billows have passed over me. That's the only thing I can probably like. Just one thing after another. Just cannot even begin to begin the pain and the heartache that Job went through on that big day. But you know, I believe as Job went through what he went through on that big day, I believe as it got worse and worse, I believe the strength from an omnipotent God got greater and greater to face what he was going through. Until that very last messenger came up and said, Job, your family's gone. Your sons and your daughters, they've been killed. They're all gone. You've lost not just your lands and your houses and your barns and your cattle. You've lost not only all those things, but now your very family is gone. And I said, I think as the messengers came forward, his strength got greater and greater till after that very last one. What Job say? The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Think about that. How the Lord was giving him strength and growing strength as his day got worse and worse. And so it's a very extensive day. It covers all types of days. Whether it's the days you say, Brother Nathan, I'm on autopilot and it's smooth sailing. Nothing's really going wrong today. Whether it's days like that or whether it's days when you just can feel Satan's black breath breathing on you and all your affairs seem to be crashing in. Doesn't matter. It's an extensive promise. As thy days, so shall thy strength be. It's a varying promise. That's not to say that it varies in degrees, but it's varying itself as far as adapting itself again to the things that we're going through. You say, Brother Nathan, you just don't understand. It seems like all the tempests are coming down upon me. It seems like everything's just about to crash in on itself. You just don't understand. Yes, I do. As thy days, so shall thy strength be. You say, Brother Nathan, you just don't understand. We're facing poverty, perhaps. I don't know if maybe we're going to have our jobs. We may lose our homes. We may lose our vehicles. It just seems like we can't get any traction financially. We're just having poverty distresses. We're on the verge of bankruptcy. You just don't understand. Yes, I do. As thy days, so shall thy strength be. You say, Brother Nathan, we've just had one illness right after another. It just seems like we've had one sickness, one right after another. When it seems like we're out of the woods, there's just another sickness that's piled on top of that. I just don't know how we're going to overcome all these sicknesses, all of these illnesses. I don't know how we're going to overcome the setbacks of old age. I don't know how we're going to keep going forward. Yes, I do. I understand. And I see the promise of the Lord. As thy days, so shall thy strength be. You say, it just seems like we've had deaths one after another. Our family's just dwindling away. It's just one right after another. You simply don't understand. Yes, I do. And dear friends, this is a varying promise of the Lord. Doesn't matter how many deaths you've gone through. As thy days, so shall thy strength be. And I dare say this morning, dear friends, that this is a very long, long, long promise of the Lord. There's no expiration date on this promise, is there? There's no date that's set for this promise to run out. This is a promise that'll be with you all of your life. As your days, so shall your strength be. It's a promise that I dare say will even outlive you. You say, Brother Nathan, what do you mean it will outlive me on this earth? What do you mean by that? Well, think about it, dear friends, when it comes perhaps to your dying moment, to take your last breath here on this world. The Lord's strength is going to get you through that moment, but then it's the Lord's strength that'll take you and usher you into that glory world. Or maybe you'll be alive and remain at the coming of the Lord, and you can be there and see as one still living the destruction of this earth and how it's melted with the fervent heat. And yet, it's the strength of the Lord that'll carry you into the clouds and say, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. The strength of the Lord still remains. It's something that'll bless you, not just in this life, but into the next life as well. You say, when we get to heaven, Brother Nathan, are we going to be tired? We're going to be singing and singing and singing praises to the Lord. Are we going to get tired of singing? No, when you think you've sung too much and you just don't know if you're going to keep on going or not. No, the strength of the Lord's there with you. You're going to keep on singing that new song, which is that old song, Worthy Art Thou, for Thou hast redeemed us unto God. It's a very long, long promise of the Lord. As thy days, so shall thy strength be. Dear friends, I think we should take great comfort in this. I think it should be a great encouragement for us as we now live in this life and we're trying to serve after the Lord, trying to follow after him, trying to run this heavenly race. You might say, I just don't know if I can live after the Lord. I don't know if I can be obedient to what the Lord would have me to do. I don't know if my career or my family or my friends will allow me to do those things. Well, let me tell you today, dear friends, the Lord's never asked you to do something that you cannot do, and he's never asked you to do something that he won't help you do. He'll give you the strength that you need to run this heavenly race, to set aside all those sins and the weights that so easily beset you, and to follow more closely after him. This is something that we ought to be so comforted by. As thy days, so shall thy strength be. It's not just for us as individuals, but it's probably something that's equally applicable to churches as well. You know, I think about Fort Wayne and some of the issues perhaps that we've had, and it seems like perhaps there's been times where Satan was at the doorstep and he was just going to pull the place in on itself for whatever reason. Maybe you all have gone through some of those things here. I don't know. I haven't been here for a while. But I'm telling you, as Little Miami goes forward into her 16th year, right? Into her 16th year, that it's only by the strength of God you've made it the last 15, and it's only by the strength of God that you'll continue more into the future. And again, we need to see him as our sufficiency, continue to hold the banner of Christ high and lift it up, and following after him here in this life, recognizing that he'll be with us, he'll give us the strength we need for the hurdles that we face. As thy days, so shall thy strength be. May the Lord bless you is my prayer.